Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes, Heath Hembry, Doc Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Kimbrough, right, Thornburg, Kimbrough, right, Brazzers, Hembry, right, Barnes, right, Thornburg, Kimbrough, 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 right, Thornbur We are on to the eighth inning. Sox hit 3-1. And Pointer into the ball game. High fly ball deep left field by Gurriel. He jumps on this one into the light standard and out of here.
Kind of cheated on. He looking fastball, got it, and left.
As Pointer comes out, and Kelly coming in. And that's going to be ball four.
Wow.
And a slider. Line drive, and that's going to fall in right field. Davis to second, stopping there. The eighth inning. Two out, two on. Here's the 2-1 to Grichik. And it hits him. It did indeed on a change, and that's going to load up the bases.
Not a very pretty outing here for Joe Kelly. Kind of did it all. A walk, a base hit, and a hit batter with a changeup. His control has been very iffy, to say the least.
That hit him, and that's going to force in a run. And here comes the manager, Alex Cora. He's got Workman all loosened up. He's going to go to him.
How'd you like that one last night, Red Sox fans? It was a win. Again, another win. 101 victories now officially for the Boston Red Sox, although Jim Murray, as you know, always docks for wins like that one last night. He puts an asterisk next to those, Murray does, so in his book, his mind, they have 99 wins. There was another one against the Marlins a couple of weeks ago. But nonetheless, the story of that game last night, of course, what else? The bullpen. The bullpen over and over and over again. Let's open up the phone lines right away. It's a Friday. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls right away on that Red Sox bullpen last night. And let me just tell you that the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. Again, 617-779-0985. Not the worst relief appearance I've ever seen by Joe Kelly. But it's got to be in the top five, maybe the top 10. Like, and I told you, like, there was one early in the year that we chalked up to be one of the worst relief appearances I've ever seen. It was that guy from the Yankees, Holder. Was his name Jonathan Holder? Remember, he came in here and had an absolutely wretched relief appearance. Wretched. That in some ways was actually better than what Kelly did last night. And if you watch the end of that game, oh, boy, I feel for you. It was hard to suffer through that one. If you didn't watch it, you have no idea what you missed. Joe Kelly threw 15 pitches. 10 balls. 10. He came into a 3-2 game with two outs and nobody on base. 3-2, two outs, nobody on base. And what he proceeded to do was walk the first batter on four pitches. Now, the fourth pitch was a strike. But because Kelly was 3-0 already and missed by a mile on the first three pitches, he didn't get the call on the fourth one, which he doesn't deserve. See, I'm actually a big believer in this, and I know it's easy to blame umpires. Like, just because a guy is misfiring doesn't mean you should squeeze him. But the way I look at it is, if you are missing the plate by so much that the umpire is going, whoa, this guy's not even close, and then you throw one that is close and you don't get the call, that's on you. So I don't give Kelly a pass for that one. Four-pitch walk, then he gave up a single, then he hit a batter, and then got ahead 0-2 on Kevin Pillar, who swings at everything. Pillar wanted to strike out, and Kelly hit him to force in the tying run. Alex Cora then went out to get him. Kelly faced four batters, retired none of them, 10 balls in the 15 pitches he threw, and further hurt his chances of, at this stage, making the playoff roster. Which brings me to a story by Alex Speer on BostonGlobe.com this afternoon. I don't think this was in the actual hard paper this morning. I didn't see the actual hard paper this morning. I looked on the website.
Man, this posted up late today.
Okay, that's what I thought. This story went up this afternoon. And so Alex Speer of the Globe writes, and I want to give this, I want to call special attention to those of you who have called me and told me I've overstated the Red Sox bullpen problems this year, that I've actually been too negative and too critical. Alex Speer of the Boston Globe, owned by the Red Sox, wrote today, the Red Sox have 10 blown saves since the All-Star break, most in the American League. Okay, and again, the All-Star break was late this year. So basically what he's telling you is, in the last 2 months, they've blown 10 saves. 10. He continues, the team has converted just 50% of save opportunities in that time, meaning they're 10 for 20. Also, that percentage, also the worst in the AL. So the Red Sox, since the All-Star break, have the most blown saves, and they have the worst percentage. Of the five AL teams that are likely going to be playing in October, Boston, Oakland, Houston, New York, Cleveland, the Red Sox are getting the fewest strikeouts, giving up the most walks, and giving up both hits and home runs. Okay, both hits and home runs. Now, last night's culprit was Joe Kelly. We'll get to more on him in a minute. But you tell me, really, how could you possibly overstate the problems that this team has late in the game? How could you possibly overstate them? And I wish I had it in front of me. I'm going to find it. Peter Abraham of the Globe pointed out something great today. And we're actually going to play the audio for you here in just a little bit, but we'll do that in a minute. It relates to Joe Kelly. In the interim, we'll take your phone calls. Jay is in a car. You kick it off for us tonight on the Baseball Reporters. Go ahead, Jay.
Man, people are just ruining it for themselves. Everybody I listen to who's just dead focused on the bullpen, and I realize it's a problem, but all the 80-year-old guys who were calling before, do me a favor, ask them before they hang up to just say, get off my lawn. Because all they're doing is looking for the one thing to complain about.
Jay. And
for all the young kids who are just bitching about it, have them say, Mommy, I want a pony.
Jay, do you believe in the bullpen?
Listen, they've got the best starting pitcher.
Do you believe in the bullpen, Jay?
I believe it's going to be awesome to watch this team in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's what I believe. And if you want perfect, if you want a guarantee, you're not going to get it. Like, that's what makes sports so great. If you want the guarantee, if you want the best starting pitching, the best batting, and the best bullpen, why even play the games?
Okay, so Jay, look, you're missing the point. Okay, you're missing the point. It's not about having the best of everything. It's about being above average in everything. Okay, and being able to win games in multiple ways. Now, Alex Speer also had this stat in his story. And look, I don't blame you for having faith in the team for this reason, this statistic that Alex Speer had in today's story. Remarkably, he writes, the Red Sox are 11-6 when they have blown a save this year. 11-6. That's a winning percentage of .647, .650 baseball when they blow a save. By definition, that's blowing a lead after the fifth inning. Okay, but at which point someone has a win or is to be credited with a win and you go out and blow the game. 11-6. I would venture to guess that that is borderline historic, that winning percentage. Okay, you're not going to see that kind of number very often. I looked this up on the 03 team because that team overcame bullpen ineptitude over and over and over again. You know what that team's record was when the Red Sox blew a save? 6-12. This team, it takes that record and basically inverts it. 11-6. What they're doing, now again, you can say that that's illogical, and you can say that it might be hard to continue. It is a reflection on their balls. At the end of the day, the bottom line is they win, and if that can continue in October, great. I would tell you that the last two such games I can remember, one was against the Blue Jays last night. They stink. The other one was against the Marlins. They stink. Not every game, not every opponent has done so. They had one against the Astros, too, where they blew the lead. But I tell you that the large majority of them came against bad teams. If you think that that is a good way to try to live in October, well, then, I don't know what to tell you. We're just going to have to end the conversation because I don't think that's a good way. Can they do it? Sure. It's a hard way to live. Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got? Oops, sorry. I missed the button here. Mike, what do you got?
Hi, Maz. Yeah, you're right. When you get to October and the teams are all really good, if you think you're coming back, in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, it's not going to happen. I just don't think they're going to be able to recover if they start blowing leads, in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. The teams are too good. You're not going to be playing Toronto and the Mets.
So, look, Mike, again, is it not going to happen? I can't guarantee you that. I mean, this Red Sox team continues to defy logic. Look at the various ways they've won games. The other night, Alex Cora sent Mitch Moreland up to pinch hit and then pulled him back and sent Brock Holt up instead because he admitted he lost track of the whole thing, and Holt ends up in a three-run homer. So it is breaking their way all the time. But I look at that eighth inning and I say, that's a huge thing. To me, you need a second reliever. Kimbrel's going to close. You're going to live or die with Kimbrel. At least there's no gray area there. You know he's getting the ball in the ninth. If he fails, you don't look at the manager and say, well, what'd you give it to him for? He's the guy. But in the eighth? Boy, Cora's facing an impossible task there. He really is. He was asked about Kelly last night. Here's what he said.
He needs to get better. And he knows it. Today wasn't a great night for him. But we trust the guy. I mean, it's two outs in the eighth. We expect him to go out there and get the out. But he didn't do it today. But if we got a situation tomorrow that we can bring him in and kind of like the same scenario, we'll bring him in.
I mean, so again, think of the scenario last night. Pointer comes in, gives up a home run to make it 3-2, but then gets two outs. The bases are empty. All Kelly had to do last night was get one out. One out without allowing a run. It's the equivalent of coming in and being given a clean inning in a 3-2 game, except all he had to do was get one out. He didn't have to get three. He had four cracks at it, walked a guy, hit two others, and gave up a hit. And the game was tied. Against Toronto, he had four cracks at it, one out, and he couldn't get it. And the if you've ever thought that Joe Kelly isn't focused on the right things, wait until you hear what he said on the Jim Rome show yesterday, which we're going to play for you when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it takes so long, he gets all situated. I hit that thing and let it fly, man. He creeps into this thing sometimes.
Here's the 1-2 from Kelly. That hit him, and that's going to force in a run.
Once again, no strikes. Zero strikes here. You're talking about high gas, all balls, and curveballs in the dirt. It's not pretty.
Dennis Eckersley's commentary last night when Joe Kelly was having his meltdown on the mound. And again, there are relief outings that you should be angry about and others that you really shouldn't. For example, that game last night's a 3-1 game, and Cora goes to Bobby Pointer, left-handed reliever, even though righties are coming up for the Blue Jays. This is not by accident. Cora knows what he's doing. So, like, in a big spot, if something like that were to happen in a big spot, in a big game, you blame the manager. You say, what are you bringing in a young lefty who's not exactly, you know, a hard... It's not like he's Brad Hand or Andrew Miller or one of those guys that can strike out both lefties and righties. Okay, Pointer's just not that kind of guy, I don't think. But Cora wants to find out. So I get why he did it last night. But I'm saying if he does it in a big spot, you blame the manager there. You don't blame the kid. And then even beyond that, Pointer comes in and gives up a home run. Fine. It happens. You make a bad pitch, you got to execute. But if you leave it over the plate, the guy hits it out of the ballpark. At least the other guy had to do something to beat you. Kelly? Kelly's outing is way worse. It's not even close.
Yeah, when you're hitting guys, that's just inexcusable. That's all on you. It's not one little bad pitch you made and the guy just got the better of you. It's all on you.
I mean, in three of the four at-bats last night, the Blue Jays didn't need a bat. They didn't need it.
You could just stand in the batter's box without any wood in their hand.
So, he gave up one single. Someone got a single to right field as a second batter. He walked the first guy in four pitches, gave up a single, and then hit the next two. And so I want you to listen to X commentary specifically because, again, when we play it as a rejoin, sometimes it takes you a second or two to focus as what's going on or on what's going on. So Kelly's on the mound, and he's all over the place. And I watched the inning before the show. And as Kelly's all over the place, Eck is saying, the Blue Jay, in the case of Kevin Pillar, he's even swinging at balls out of the strike zone. So Kelly got ahead in the count because Pillar swung at bad pitches, not because Kelly made pitches. So of 15 pitches that kicked through, the five strikes weren't even strikes. It was really more than 10 balls. It was probably like 13 or 14. He couldn't come anywhere near the strike zone. It's astonishing how many pitches he threw in a row without throwing a strike. Okay, and on top of it, he's really deliberate, laboring, waiting to get into his delivery. And, you know, he's taking forever on the mound. And so this is where X starts. X looking at it going, geez, would you get on the mound and just throw the thing? Because you're overthinking and now you're in a mental case. So that's where it starts. I want you to listen to all it's edited because it was something he said over the course of, you know, a couple of minutes. So we tried to condense it for you. But listen to all of X commentary.
Man, it takes so long. He gets all situated. I hit that thing and let it fly, man.
Jimmy, stop there for a second. Sorry. When he says hit that thing and let it fly, he means hit the rubber. Get on the rubber, hit the mound, and let it go. What are you doing? Go ahead.
He creeps into this thing sometimes.
Here's the 1-2 from Kelly. That hit him, and that's going to force in a run.
Once again, no strikes. Zero strikes here. You talk about high gas, all balls, and curveballs in the dirt. It's not pretty.
All over the place. I mean, really, all over the place. And this is the guy you're going to pitch in the eighth inning of a playoff game? Are you crazy? Like, really, are you crazy? You're going to pitch this guy in the eighth inning of a playoff game. Here's the other part that should really tick you off.
Just good for Eck, by the way, not pulling any punches either.
Well, he was dead on last night. I mean, he didn't hesitate at all, Murray. And this is something that Peter Abraham referenced in his story today on BostonGlobe.com. This one was actually in the game story. So just bear with me for one second and we'll get your calls. Yesterday, apparently, Joe Kelly was on the Jim Rome show, right? And listen to the... So Kelly used to be in the National League. I think at one point he was a positional player. I don't know the whole story there. Is that right, Jimmy?
In college, he was a hitter.
Okay.
And then they changed him to a bullpenner.
Okay, so they changed him to
my bad Jim Rome.
Right, and right, exactly. I'm Jim Rome. So the Kelly hit in the National League. He hit in college. And Rome decides to ask him about batting. And here's how the exchange went.
Do you miss picking up the bat?
All the time. You know, I'm still hoping that, you know, I get my World Series at bat this year. And you know, maybe a little mess up where, you know, it's an extra inning game and I got to go through innings.
Wait a minute. What? You hope you get an at bat in the World Series? You know, there's a little mess up and I have to go two innings? So is this the kind of stuff Joe Kelly's focused on in the World Series? To get an at bat? Here's what I would say to Joe Kelly, even before last night. Can you focus on actually pitching in the World Series? How about that part of it? Focus on pitching and throwing strikes instead of worrying about getting an at bat in the World Series if something crazy happens. How about earning a spot on the playoff roster and actually being on the postseason roster so you can pitch in October? Because the way he's going right now, Abraham introduced the possibility that he won't be on the playoff roster at all. It caught me by surprise, but when you really think about it, it's in play. It's entirely in play. This guy can't pitch in October with the way he's going. Those are the Blue Jays last night. You're going to pitch him in Houston or New York or who knows where against the Cubs in Chicago, and he's going to be on the mound thinking maybe this is the night I get to hit? Joe, focus on the pitching. You're having enough trouble with that right now. John's in a truck. Go ahead, John.
Man, just take a breath.
Go ahead, John. It's fine. Go ahead.
You're gonna be all right. Hey, the call from Dan O'Brien. 1-2 from Kelly. When is the last time you heard that call? The call should be more along the lines of, how a guy's laying off pitches this close? It reminds me of Major League, the remake. We got the wheel of gutless bums in the bullpen between Kelly, who looks like Rick Vaughn, and the guy with Crisco on all over his chest with Stephen Wright in the bullpen. We have no idea. Cora has no options. I feel bad for the guy. He has no options when it comes to the seventh and eighth inning. He's sitting there with a guy who can't hit the strike zone, can't hit the broadside of a barn, and another guy with a pitch drop 6 feet in front of the plate.
John, so I'll tell you, it's
you have callers, Matt. You have callers all the time who are sitting there saying that they can't, they won't answer a question, and
yeah. I thought I lost you there. I don't know what people are watching. I don't know how people can have this kind of faith in that sort of performance. So it's one thing to say, look, I believe in the team. I got you. They got unbelievable grit. And they've come back and won games in spite of things. And last night, a team drops a pop-up. And maybe it is just one of those years. Okay, I hate to go back to the whole Brandon Phillips commentary in Atlanta when Phillips, in his first game of the year, gets in and hits a game-winning home run. Okay, last night, Xander Bogart steals third base, and then a guy drops a pop-up, and they win the game. Against the Marlins, a guy throws away a double play ball. They win the game. So this kind of thing can happen. It can. I mean, crazy things happen, and sometimes maybe it is just their year. I would like to bet on something a little more tangible, and in the late innings, I just don't see how you can do that with this team. Doesn't mean they'll fail. They might win anyway. But I'm glad you brought up Cora. I want to get to him in a second, but first, quickly, Scott in the car, you got to go fast.
Yeah, hey, Tony. Listen, so as far as having basically nobody to choose from in the bullpen, how does that affect your bench now? Is Cora going to go, are they going to go more guys in the bullpen for the sake of somebody on the bench? So I mean, it affects more than just, you know, just the end of the game.
Scott, it's a good question. I mean, I think part of the reason you're seeing an audition here for Bobby Pointer is maybe they carry 12 pitchers because they want to carry a lefty out there. Otherwise, everyone's right-handed. So it's a good question. It does affect the roster composition because you might need more guys now, and maybe Pointer's one of them. So I do not rule that out, and that means you might not have a third catcher, might not have an extra infielder, especially now with Nunez aggravating that knee last night. Maybe there's a need to carry an extra infielder, but because of your bullpen, you can't do that. So all of that, legitimate. As for Cora, I want to emphasize to you the impact that this could have in the long run. Okay, and it relates to another Red Sox season in which they overcame a bad bullpen, but it ultimately bit them in the ass. We'll get to that after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We need versatility, guys that can match up with whoever we face in, you know, fastballs up, breaking balls, slider. I think that's the most important thing. You guys saw it early in the season how we were going with Joe and Barnsley. Now that things are going this way, you know, you see it with Pointer getting switch hitters out and lefties, and I'm not, you know, Brazier coming in the sixth inning or pitching the eighth. It's just about who can get people out and how can we match up with whoever we play. That's the most important thing. And, you know, obviously those decisions will happen before we play game 163 or we play the division series. And we'll look at the matchups that we like, what we feel we can exploit, and we go from there.
So the guy you should be worried about in this, it's Alex Cora before last night's game, talking about the eighth inning and how he has to sort of figure it out. Okay, and he's really the guy you should worry about. And when I say worry about Cora, the relievers are who they are at this stage, and now Cora has to deal with it. And so this just, it brings me back a little bit to 2003, because that Red Sox team had an unbelievable knack for winning games. Remember, that was a major, that was a team that set the major league record for slugging percentage. I think they slugged 490 as a team that year or something. They slugged higher than the 27 Yankees that had Gehrig and Ruth on the roster. So now Cora, though, has to deal with this. And what happened in 03 is that Grady Little got into the playoffs. His bullpen finally started pitching well, but he still didn't trust him, and he went to Pedro Martinez in the eighth inning in New York. And we all know what happened after that. Okay, so now with Cora, it's not just the fact that he's got to figure it out. It's that there's already been enough damage done there that he doesn't trust some of these guys. So is he going to lean on Kimbrel to get extra outs? Is he going to try to switch his starter a little bit? So when he gets to that game that he has to have, game five or game seven, and he has David Price on the mound or Chris Sale on the mound, and he has to send him back out for the eighth because he says, well, if I can get one or two outs more out of Sale, and then I can get one more out of Kimbrel, I can avoid the eighth inning altogether. I can avoid the bullpen altogether, either, you know, the Barnes, the Kelly, the Hembree. I can avoid those guys altogether if I start to stretch a little. And I remember Francona used that term. Once you start to stretch, you're in trouble. Okay, once you start to stretch, you're in trouble. You can do it a little bit, and but as the postseason goes on, you do it over and over, you're going to be vulnerable. I want to bring in Dan in Connecticut, who says I'm wavering on something. I'd like to hear specifically what that is, Dan.
Yes, Maz, how you doing, man?
Good.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the call.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Go ahead.
Listen to you all year. Yeah, I tune in online just to hear you down in Connecticut. I don't get you in the Yankee and Met territory. But
Dan, it's okay. You can criticize me. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So you've been on the bullpen all year, rightly so. But now you're kind of... You're not changing your tune about the bullpen, but you're talking about their, you know, their knack to win games. They're like the 03, 04 team a little bit. What is your prediction for this team? Which way do you think they're going to go in the playoffs? Do they have enough to overcome the bullpen? You seem to be talking out of both sides of your mouth here, and I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so Dan, honestly, I'm not wavering. I'm just allowing for the possibility that they could, you know, there have been teams that have won with bad bullpens before, but if you're asking me if you want to play the prediction game, their bullpen's going to bite them in the ass in October.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
So now look, if it comes off as wavering, I don't mean it that way. I'm just trying to allow for all the possibilities and call anytime. Okay, so I believe that you have to have at least two good relievers out there, two reliable relievers. And I think in the manager's mind right now, he has one. Now, you could say even Kimbrel's not reliable, and you might be right. But I would tell you that in the manager's mind, I'm good in the ninth, I got Kimbrel. Like, that's where I'm going. Okay, that's clear to me. But the eighth, the manager doesn't know where he's going to go. So now, what I should have asked Dan is how he feels whether the bullpen's going to bite him in the ass. Because I feel it is. But I know what's going to happen by saying that, Dan. What's going to happen is if they win it, and they win it in spite of the bullpen, then all these people that want to shove it in my face, and that's okay. It's part of the job. I understand the reality of it. But all those people are going to call and say, see, you were worried about nothing. And I would tell you that if they win it with a bad bullpen, that doesn't mean we were griping about nothing. We have plenty of reasons to worry with this team and that bullpen. I think that those concerns are justified. So again, and that's really what it's about. It's not about whether or not they win in spite of it. The question is whether the concerns about that bullpen are justified. And to me, they are. Chuck is in a car. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, Maz, I called you earlier this week and I said, hey, it was obvious that the bullpen was going to change come the playoffs. Well, Kelly proved me right last night. There's no way he's making this roster, okay? But I got another obvious for you. They're going nowhere unless they straighten this out. So we got to start talking about what Cora's going to do to come up with a plan. I mean, would they even consider going to a three-man starting rotation and maybe move Eddie Rodriguez into the bullpen and take their chances with the three starters there, Sale, Price, and Porcello, or come up with something, because get creative, like sort of what Tito did last year when he used what's his name there,
Andrew Miller,
in the early innings. Yeah, Andrew Miller.
Yeah, so,
I mean,
so
we're going to talk about it all day long. About, yeah, we know with the end result, they're not going to win the World Series with this bullpen.
Okay,
it comes down to the bullpen.
So Chuck, okay. let's see how it shakes out. Okay, let's see how it shakes out in terms of what they do, and maybe there is a maybe there is some quote unquote secret weapon that Cora has lined up that we don't know about. Now, the idea of putting Rodriguez out there and going the 3-man rotation, I don't think they're going to go with the 3-man rotation. Because then you're asking Chris Sale to pitch on 3 days of rest in Game 4 when he's already dealing with shoulder soreness. Like, I don't see him going that route. Now, if you wanted to say, well, they could put Wright in the rotation, make him the fourth starter, and then put Eduardo Rodriguez in the bullpen, fine. Like, you know, but to me, they're going to have four starters. How they, who the extra arm is in the bullpen, could it be Eovaldi? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, again, they traded for Eovaldi and said they needed a starter at the time, and maybe they did. But maybe the whole idea was that they think Eovaldi can be that eighth inning guy. Now, again, I disagree with them. We'll see. But if they end up using him in the eighth inning and he ends up being a weapon for them and he gets out lefties and righties, which is clearly something Cora wants, he needs a clear answer there instead of having to mix and match and play matchups all the time. He needs a clear answer. If Eovaldi ends up being that guy, then Dombrowski will come out smelling like roses. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think they have it. And I can't believe that Dave Dombrowski didn't go out and get a reliever at July 31. I can't believe that they did that. It's unbelievable to me that you could have a team like this not get bullpen help at the deadline. John's in Wakefield. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, hi, Matt. Listen, I just want to say, you guys are really whacking my boy Joe Kelly around. I mean, he's given us some incredible innings. He set the tone for the toughness of the Sox this year when he whacked that Yankee knock that time. That guy is, he's the best you have. Shut him down. Rest him up. I mean, you're doing the same thing with Sale. Do the same thing with Kelly. He's the best you have.
Okay, so this is John, you can't say that, all right? You can't say it. So look,
the guy sucks. If you're still caught up in what that fracas with the Yankees back in, what was that, May? Because you got to buy a neat T-shirt because he fancied himself a tough guy for a night. That's what you're holding your hopes out for? The guy sucks. He's a mental puddle. That has nothing to do with the fact that he has no stuff and no sack every time that he gets up there. Okay, it was a neat little moment from, what, 4 or 5 months ago, whatever the hell it is now? If you want that guy pitching in the eighth inning in any high-leverage situation in the postseason, you're crazy.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.